Every person who comes to God comes with excess baggage. That's right. The bags include all the details of our life up until the time that we come to God. We present ourselves before God with all of our sins. There is not a one that's left out. We bring them all to the foot of the cross. The reason we have brought these bags of sin to the cross is because we're now ashamed of them. We want to be freed from the guilt. We want to be forgiven of all those sins. Those bags of sin have caused us great grief and great guilt. We have carried them long enough. We are saddened and sorrowful for all this trouble that we've brought upon ourselves and upon others. We are sorry. There is more than one kind of sorrow. That's right. Paul caused sorrow among the Corinthians when he wrote a scathing rebuke of their sins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he said that sorrow produced repentance. He called it godly sorrow. Godly sorrow produces repentance. Worldly sorrow produces death. Godly sorrow causes us to turn away from our sin and turn toward life. It causes us to desire the will of God. Worldly sorrow just digs a pit from which we cannot escape as long as we have it. Finally, worldly sorrow leads to death. The death of hope, the death of joy, the death of faith, perhaps even physical death. And even more to be feared is that it leads to the second death. Godly sorrow, friends, is the opposite. Godly sorrow leads to hope, to joy, to faith, to abundant life here in this world, and it leads to eternal life in the world to come. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly." John 10:10. Well, Jesus has come in order to produce godly sorrow. Yes. The first preaching out of Jesus' mouth was the word repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, godly sorrow leads to repentance. And so Jesus wanted to create godly sorrow so that people would repent. Jesus came to produce godly sorrow in the hearts of men and women. Godly sorrow cannot undo the past, however. Neither can repentance undo the past. That's right. Unfortunately, there will be many things we have done that cannot be undone. But there are many things of which we're now ashamed that we can correct. Maybe this is what John the Baptist had in mind when he told the Jewish leaders who came to him to be baptized of him that they needed to bring forth fruit that matched their repentance. Matthew 3:8. In other words, they could not continue to be as they were after their baptism under repentance. If they were truly repenting, they needed to change their wrong behavior. They could not continue to practice sin. Repentance means to stop sinning. If those religious leaders were cheating people, then they had to stop cheating people. But you know, furthermore, they had also to repay those people they had cheated, insofar as it was possible. That's right. If those leaders were coveting other people's money, then they had to stop coveting money. Now, if their baggage of sins included fornication, then they had to give that up too. If their baggage included lying, then they had to start telling the truth and nothing but the truth. If they were truly ashamed of their sins, then wouldn't they also want to straighten out some of those lies they had told and inform the people they had misled? Well, friends, this is indeed heavy baggage. This is sorrow right down to the roots of our soul. Is it possible for a repentant person to redress all of his sins? Is it possible to straighten out every crook in our crooked past? Well, I don't believe it is possible to straighten every sin that we've committed. That's right. For one thing, we do not even know all of our sins. There are sins completely hidden from our view, forgotten long ago. What are we going to do about those? Some other obvious sin that cannot be undone includes murder. It is not possible for a murderer to restore life to the person he is sinned against. It is probably even impossible that this sinner, after getting out of prison, could ever replace the money or anything else that that victim could have brought to his family in a lifetime. Is it possible for this murderer to have a new life with Christ with this kind of heavy baggage of sin over his head? Friends, there is no good news, there is no gospel, unless the baggage of sin can be left at the foot of the cross. That's right. How could Peter live with himself after denying that he even knew Jesus, not once, but three times? Jesus foretold Peter's denial, and the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Luke 22:31-32. Now Jesus predicted that Peter would return to him. Well, great sorrow overtook Peter after he realized what he had done. It is written that Peter broke down and wept. Mark 14:72. But Peter returned to the Lord. Yes, he did. Did it undo the past? No. Did his return evaporate the shame? Well, surely it did not. Don't you know that Peter had a hard time thinking about all of that? But it was forgiven. The good news is that Peter could return to the Lord, and that he did return to the Lord, and that his faith did not fail. He came back from the shame. The Apostle Paul found himself in the same situation when he was Saul of Tarsus, a persecutor of the church, hauling men and women, committing them to prison. No telling how many he was responsible for, but he was forgiven. He may not very well could have undone all that he had done, probably could not undo all that he had done, but yet forgiven. You know, Judas reacted completely different than these two men. Judas was the apostle who betrayed Christ to the authorities. It is written that when Judas realized what he had done and how Jesus was about to be treated, he brought that bribery money back to the religious priests who had given it to him. When they would not accept it, he threw it on the floor at their feet and went out and hanged himself. No one found Judas until his body had rotted on the rope. The record says that he fell from the rope headlong and all of his bowels gushed out. Acts 1:18. Judas's sorrow did not lead him to return. Judas was overtaken with so much sorrow and shame that he could not come back. You know, the Apostle Paul warned the Corinthians about this very thing. Paul had rebuked a Corinthian man for sexual immorality with his father's wife. Scholars think this was probably the man's stepmother. Paul warned the Corinthians to withdraw their fellowship from that sexually immoral man. The purpose was for the man's repentance. Paul wanted him to repent. God wanted him to repent. Paul wanted him to be overtaken with godly sorrow. But Paul warned the Corinthians about overmuch sorrow. That's right. The kind of sorrow that Judas had experienced. Listen to Paul's instruction. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him, for this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. What I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. 2 Corinthians 2:6-11 in the English Standard Version. Well, what would Satan have wanted in this case? Well, Satan wanted that Christian man to continue in his sin. Satan wanted the church to be embarrassed by all of that, to suffer shame, public shame, because of that brother's behavior. Satan also wanted the Corinthian Christians to close their arms to that man and not welcome him back into the church if he should repent. Paul said, "We are not ignorant of Satan's designs." Therefore, Paul wanted that sinful Christian to become ashamed and sorrowful over his sin, but then Paul wanted the brethren to turn to him to forgive him and comfort him, lest he be overwhelmed with too much sorrow. Friends, Christians are supposed to help people with their excess baggage. That's right. What would have happened if the Corinthians did not turn back to that man to forgive and comfort him? That fornicator would have been overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. He would not have been welcomed back into the church. He would have had similar feelings like Judas, feelings that he could never be forgiven. He would feel that there was no hope for forgiveness. Could that man undo his past? No, but he could stop what he was doing. When that man stopped living with his father's wife, then repentance would have been obvious to the Christians. The Christians would have been able to see that he was seriously repenting of sin, that he was feeling godly sorrow. Now, when that sinful Christian stopped sleeping with his father's wife, then he would be correcting a sinful situation. Surely, friends, you would not say that this man could continue to sin. Surely, we are not so dull of hearing as to condone this man's sin. Surely, we would have been among those who would have turned to forgive and comfort him when, in fact, the man had repented. Friends, godly sorrow is a wonderful thing. It enables you and me to repent and to bring our bags of sin and lay them at the cross of Christ. It enables us to quit sin. Yes, it is true. Many sins can be undone. That is, we can make amends for them. But it is also true that many sins cannot be undone. Do we have the faith that Jesus can take those sins away also? Yes, friends, Jesus can take them all away on the basis of a sorrowful heart of the repentant man, woman, boy, or girl.